Today's listener essay is by Jeannie Hunter.
In 1929, the southern city of Mobile, Alabama, instigated through the Junior Chamber of Commerce an annual spring azalea festival, which prospers to this day. Pink and white azalea bushes were planted thickly on city streets, highways, medians, and thoroughfares. The impression given is of pink and white world in every direction. I visited friends there in April. The air hung as hot and heavy as trapped steam, and after hours of inspecting miles and miles of azaleas in full bloom, we came across a small cemetery in a quiet corner of Mobile. Ringed with tall live oak trees festooned with the appropriately mournful Spanish moss, there were dozens of weeping willows among the ancient headstones and monuments. The impression was of an overgrown, forgotten spot, mysterious and beautiful in permanent shade. Disturbed headstones heaved together irregularly, the older ones harder to decipher of names, dates, messages, as they were worn largely covered with lichen. We were approached by a tall, dignified old gentleman, stooped and wearing a formal black aged suit, his laceless shoes flapping and tattered. The Dickensian effect completed by a frayed wing collar. Smiling, toothless, and welcoming, he told us his name was Jonas McAllister, the registered historian and custodian there. "Yes, sir," he said with pride. "Yes, sir, this here's a genuine community. We got all kinds here." We walked around and he pointed out graves of interest. A wry chuckle when he reached his favorite headstone, a local sailing ship captain struck down by yellow fever in 1801 and interred with his first wife to his right and the second to his left, a tricky decision permanently deferred. In a chained-off corner lies the oldest inhabitant of Mobile at the turn of the 20th century. 105-year-old former slave who had been thusly rewarded for a lifetime of service. I wondered if her shade or her family were impressed by this distinction or distressed by the separating iron chain. Local legend has it that a young man was accused of murder and swore to his innocence, claiming that God would prove it by making an oak tree grow out of his heart. He was hanged. His above-ground tomb was pushed upwards to 45 degrees to reveal a sturdy tree growing from inside, about 12 feet tall. Another name stood out. The nephew of Ben Franklin was murdered nearby in a tavern brawl. No details available of that tragedy, just a name, birth year, and death dates. The custodian Jonas, obviously pleased to have an attentive audience, went into his small shed and produced some sepia-tinted local newspapers from the late 1800s, detailing the scourge of yellow fever which afflicted hundreds of French immigrants sailing from Europe en route to New Orleans. Many died along the way and were buried as Catholics in this cemetery. Ancient as the story was, Jonas recounted it as if it were today's news. His zeal so impressed us we were quite caught up in the moment, despite the uncomfortable heat and humidity. He told us he played the organ at the local Baptist church, and we could imagine those huge, gnarled hands rolling over the keys while the congregants sang and waved back and forth. My friends escaped to their air-conditioned car, and I lingered briefly. Jonas told me his parents had been freed slaves from West Africa, and the name he had was their owner's Scots name, McAllister. Wandering, I enjoyed reading the blurred inscriptions of the texts. Here a stoical and stern injunction from a young woman drowned in the harbor nearby during a 1789 storm. "Mourn not for me, it is in vain to call me to your sight again." A distant, unhappy quatrain on the small grave of a 5-year-old child who died of the plague in 1771, provoking a giddy medley of metaphors. She died when her morning of life was unclouded, when hope's golden promises gilded her way. Ere grief's sable wing had her spirit enshrouded, she sank to the tomb like a rose in decay. I remained alone there for a while, exhausted, thoughtful, and melancholy. The trees moved soundlessly in the hazy solitude. I became virtually rooted to the spot, hallucinating slightly. A blade of grass, a burrowing insect, roots interwoven with bones, part of the voiceless population, all now rendered equal. Ancient graveyards here and abroad have intrigued and drawn me all my life, a tenuous connection to the past, bittersweet yet oddly comforting. This was the end of a day on the Azalea Trail, where we saw elegant mansions, glorious gardens, and enjoyed hospitality of a kind only to be found in the Deep South. But those hours in that graveyard remain a pervasive and charmed recollection.
Jeannie Hunter lives in Catskill, New York. To hear this or any roundtable segment again, visit WAMC.org.